Alrighty, welcome back everyone to our Groundskeeper Chat series. I'm your host, Meg Kruger. I am the content lead with Pioneer Athletics. And today we have a bit of a different episode for you guys. Instead of introducing a guest today, I'm only going to turn it over to my co-host, Weston Appelfeller. And he's actually going to be interviewing me today. And we'll see how long it takes for us to get off topic and spiral down into something of a great digression. But we're going to be talking all about branding, how branding can impact your crew, your career, and your community. This is a topic I feel pretty strongly about. I will be presenting this topic at SFMA in Daytona Beach this year, but we thought we would take some time to talk a little bit about it beforehand, get people excited about the topic, and then if you want to hear more, see real life examples, that will be the place to see it live and in action. So Weston, I will turn it over to you. I know that you have researched this topic extensively.
Early.
You did an entire background. You know, you made a profile about me. You're just ready to take the reins here.
Yes, I dove into your Wikipedia, which amazingly, I didn't know you had that. But no, I'm Weston Appelfeller. I'm the market technical advisor here at Pioneer. And excited to have today's guest. Thrilled. To have Meg answering each and every question that I'm going to throw at her. She's definitely on the hot seat, so we're gonna see what we get here. So first question, here it comes. What do you do with your free time?
Ooh, that's a good one.
You didn't expect it.
I didn't. Look at that. Well, yeah, you and I think have bonded a bit over our interests, so you'll relate to how I like to get away from it all. It's really just hanging out with my kids. We love to go for hikes. We love to go to the park. We love to have picnics. We just like to go swimming, all the things outside. Since both my husband and I work from home now, it's like the minute it's 5 o'clock, we want to leave. Like even in the wintertime, we get out every single day because we've all been cooped up all day inside. So it's like, we immediately go outside. We live right there by the lake, so we'll go fishing, even though my son has never once caught anything. He loves to go fishing, like almost any chance you give him. And we've tied a little plastic fish to the end of his rod, and he thinks that's what fishing is.
That's
so
awesome.
That's what our big thing was this summer. If I'm not with my kids, I really like to go to live music. I love to go out to eat and, you know, socialize with friends. And I love to host people.
Okay.
So nice. I would say that's a huge interest
of mine,
is making food for people and having them dirty at my house so that I can clean it. So that's what I like to do outside of work.
All right. Well, then with that said, we'll go ahead and dive into the topic. I think this is important. You know, we've talked several times. Meg thinks I need to be more active on social media. I know she's active, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, I don't know, anything,
all the
everything,
places,
everywhere that content can be found. That's her thing. So she is an expert at this. I, not having a Twitter, she keeps telling me I need to do it. And so I'm excited to find out why.
Yep.
And so getting started here, you know, what can being involved, with social media, you know, branding yourself, how can that impact you?
Definitely. Well, I mean, if the only thing I accomplished today is convince you to get a Twitter, then it's an hour well spent.
X.
Oh my gosh. Look at you.
Yes.
You're ready. You're ready.
Let's
to
go.
Take over. So the reason that I kind of became interested in this topic about visibility for groundskeepers is because anytime I would interview somebody for a topic, anytime we'd go to a conference or something, a common theme is the misconceptions between groundskeeper and user group, or misconceptions between groundskeeper and the general public. So that might be something as simple as the people living in your community don't realize that somebody's maintaining that field, and they let their kids come and ride their bike on a freshly dragged baseball field. And they let them do that every single night. And you can't expect a groundskeeper to sit out there and watch the field all hours of the day. But it would be as simple as that community member knowing, oh, there's somebody that takes care of this field, or this is something that our community, our tax dollars are paying for this freshly, you know, placed dirt, and I'm tearing it up because I have no concept of that. It would just be a simple conversation to combat that misconception. And, you know, we can't have that conversation with every single person in our user group or our general public. So if we have that visibility on social media in our communities, that is really going to help combat that misconception of why does this matter to me as a user group member or as a community member. So really, that's where my passion for this topic came, is just helping groundskeepers understand the impact of being visible. And that is going to look a lot different for every single person. So for someone like you, where you're like, I'm not interested in sitting on Twitter every day, or, you know, really being on social media, that doesn't really resonate with how I like to spend my time. That's okay. That doesn't mean you can't participate. Because you can be visible in your community in different ways. And we'll kind of dive into that a little bit. For the purpose of like this chat, and when I really do talk about this in depth, I like to focus on X, Turf X, I guess we would now call it, previously known as Turf Twitter, because we already do have a bit of, you know, a community there. You don't have to build it from the ground up yourself. Mm-hmm. We already have groundskeepers there who are, you know, helping pull the tarp in a sense on that front. And really, I think overall, if at the end of the day, your one post or your, you know, your mark that you're making in your community, if all of our impacts start to, you know, blend into each other, then we have this universal, you know, we've all helped each other in a sense. Mm-hmm. So visibility for one groundskeeper in turn is going to be visibility for all of us and for our industry. So that's not only helping, you know, our user groups understand why this matters to them. It's combating our labor issues. It's combating our need for a seat at the table when money's being moved around. It's combating those conversations that the general public has about, like, oh, why the hell is this paint tracking during an NFL game? It's like, oh, well, you know, let's change the conversation to where it's like, oh, shit, those weather conditions were impossible for that groundskeeper, and he still pulled off something.
Yep.
So as you can tell from my 5 minute, I don't even remember what the question was, but as you can tell, I'm very passionate about this topic because it's such a simple entry point.
Man, I just asked what your name was, and this is where we're at. So 8 minutes in. Yeah. All right. As you know, you talk about, there's importance there to getting the word out, getting the information out. Mm-hmm. Is there a certain social media platform that works better at that? You talked about TurfX, but there's everything else in the world, yep. Right? We have so many options. As a person that literally just has a personal Instagram page, is there something else that I should be looking at for better information, more information? Which one? Break down each one of them for me, I guess, sure. And what the positives and negatives are.
So I guess where I would take that question is, whatever is going to work and whatever's going to resonate with your audience is whatever is most authentic to you. Okay. So if it doesn't feel authentic for you to go on Facebook and join a bunch of local groups or, you know, a mom's group to tell them, hey, stop having your kid drive on, like, then it, like, don't go there. Like, so it's really whatever feels authentic to you and wherever you feel most comfortable, that's what's going to be successful.
Okay.
So for example, Instagram is where I personally post my kids or my life, or that's where I post about my vacations, or that's where I post about the funny thing my kid said this week. Twitter is where I have completely branded myself work on there. So that's where I, you know, will share things from the industry, or that's where I'll talk about something exciting at work or whatever. Facebook has kind of become my hybrid of both. So it's where I will, you know, post about work, but in a lovey-dovey way, in a sense. So I'm not talking anything technical on Facebook, because I do know it is also reaching a lot of my own personal connections. But prime example, like yesterday I posted, or I reshared something that Pioneer had posted, a bunch of our team photos. And I was like, man, I just love to work here type of thing. So it's a nice hybrid of both for me. Pros and cons, again, are going to look different for every single person. So if on Instagram, you feel like your stories or your in-feed posts are reaching a ton of turf professionals, start there and stick there until you feel comfortable to go somewhere else. I will say, like I mentioned before, Twitter is a great place to start, because we already have people kind of moving the mark, and we already have conversations in the turf industry happening there. Facebook, again, I think that on a local level, it's a great place to be, because you can join your local STMA, SFMA chapter, or you can join like the local parks page and generate conversations in there. So I would say for a local purpose, Facebook is good for that. Okay. LinkedIn, I would say is great if you are building a portfolio for yourself as a groundskeeper, whether you want to move on or not. If you just want to have a catalog of all the things you've accomplished, LinkedIn's a perfect place for that. So YouTube, if you want to become a thought leader and you want to start making videos of time lapse of like how you accomplished a field renovation, perfect. If you don't want to be that long winded, take it over to TikTok and have it be a quick time lapse. Like,
yeah, what is TikTok? Explain this to me, because I'm 40 now and I am completely, I feel aged out of this, but maybe I'm not.
No, I mean,
what is that? What's happening there?
TikTok has something for every corner of the world could be touched on TikTok. If you're a historical fiction junkie, you could go down a rabbit hole that you'll pass 3 hours easily. But I will say, I think that it's the answer to kind of reaching that next generation.
Okay.
But it's also, you know, I think people are the most skeptical of TikTok. If you're a parent right now, I don't know if you're like diving headfirst into TikTok, because it's scary a little bit. It has that instant gratification elements that scare the shit out of all of us.
Yep.
It has the content that you're like, oh, I don't know if I should have this on my phone right now. Like, who's going to see that I'm, you know, it's a little scary. So I understand if people, you know, shy away from it, but for the people that are willing to dive in headfirst on that platform, more power to them. And also, like, thank you for leading the charge for the turf industry. There's a great guy out there, Cooper Goley, I think this is how I would pronounce his last name. He was with the Indianapolis Colts at one point. He has done some time in Pittsburgh, I believe that's where he still is. And he was just painting, like filming himself painting the numbers at the practice facility at one point.
Yeah.
When you go on there wasn't a single turf professional commenting on that photo or those videos like, hey, dude, I love that you're using Pioneer paint, or I love that striper that you've got. It was all people saying, what is this? Like, how do I get involved in this? And I swear, like, people saying, how do I get involved in this industry? So again, I'm not saying that we all need to migrate over to TikTok and, you know, become a huge voice over there, but for the people that are doing it, thank you for leading the charge. That's and maybe we'll join you one day.
I feel like I'm never joining TikTok, just so you know. Like, you might get me on X, but you're not going to get me on TikTok, because I feel like I have to know how to dance. I have to have cool handshakes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just
misconception about TikTok, but that's okay. I agree. Like, it's, I'm going to take my wins where I can have them, and I'm not going to try and convince you to get on TikTok.
Are you ready for a good Weston's an old guy here at Comms
story? Of course. Right. These are my favorites.
So I am an iPhone user. We have every Apple thing you could possibly have in your house, right? And so I have a couple kids. My kids have iPads. They're linked to the same user ID as me.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I download an app on my phone, it goes on their iPad because nice. I am too old to figure out how to stop that from happening. And my 9-year-old boy always calls me out on it. Like, Dad, what did you get this app for? What did you get this app for? And I have to explain it to him. I'm also a person that hates to have notifications on my phone. And like a year or two ago, Apple started putting notifications on when you need to update individual apps. And so that number shows up.
Yep.
And so if I ever see 1, 2, 4, 38, however many are on there, I automatically update it. Last year, I was standing in Fenway Park out on the field talking with Dave Miller, their groundskeeper. And there was another person there. The other person was leading the conversation. I kind of walked away and I was walking out center field and I looked down and I saw I needed to update my apps needed updated or whatever, but the notification was there. And I literally cannot process anything if I have a notification. So I go and I just click on it to like super fast and I do it and I put my phone back in my pocket because I don't want to be rude or whatever, but it's going to download and it's going to take 10 minutes to update it and whatever. Sorry, this is a long story. I accidentally hit TikTok and downloaded it on my phone and immediately tried Xing out, but it was too late. It was already on there.
Yeah.
Delete the app as soon as it comes on. But as soon as I get home, my son just drops a, Dad, why do we have TikTok? And my wife just looks at me. She's like, you're on TikTok?
Oh, no.
And I was like, no, I'm just old. I just don't know how to do this. I can't handle having a notification. Yes. Yeah. So my wife was basically like, why are you hanging out with teenagers on TikTok? And my son called me out on it. So
I love it.
Yep.
Well, they keep us humble, if anything else.
So, sorry that I went backwards there. I'll get back to the topic here. So, I guess that's a good time. What are the pros and cons of using social media?
So the pros and cons, again, social media is a great tool for us to gain visibility on a larger scale as an industry. And how I've kind of broken this down is, what are the pros and cons between creating a personal profile and creating a crew profile? So for you, Weston, this would have been like a perfect solution. Maybe when you were running a crew was to be like, hey, is there someone on this crew that's really passionate about this and wants to take the lead? And we'll create a profile that embodies everything that we do here so that it's not just me. I don't have to be front facing. I don't ever have to have people being like, oh, whose disgusting feet were those in the background? Like, it would be the whole crew, opposed to having a personal profile. The cons to that is that super passionate person leaves, they move on. And now it's like, oh, the other three of us, like, we don't want to do this. And it kind of dies off. Mm-hmm. Or say you were the one to lead it and then you move on to another position. All of those followers you had, all of, the content that you generated, it's not going to make sense to come with you to a new crew. So I guess that's the major con, is it would have to live for that, crew for, mm-hmm. it would have to, you'd have to find a way for it to be have longevity. The pros for having a personal page is that for somebody just starting out, for you, you're like, I don't know if I really need a personal page. I've been in the industry long enough. I've made a name for myself. I'm happy where I'm at. You could easily convince yourself it's not necessary. For someone who's up and coming, that personal page is going to not only connect you with other people in the industry where there's potential conversations to be had, potential connections to be made, potential job offers to come later down the line. But like I said before, your social profile can serve as a living, breathing resume for you. So if it's a living, breathing resume for the whole crew, somebody might look at that and be like, well, I don't really know what Meg's skills are. That's just the whole crew. Like, but if it's my personal profile and I'm showing, hey, I led this field renovation, mm-hmm. here's a cool time lapse of it, or here are all the things I had to consider when we chose a new, infield mix. Like, those are immediate, not justifications, immediate proof, or somebody can go on my page and say, I know that she can do this, this, and that. it's a living, breathing resume. If it's your personal page, the cons to that are for the same, you know, common sense, just like you don't want to be front facing. You don't want somebody to, you know, have too much insight into your personal life. But again, how I kind of went over the different social networks, like you can have a personal page and keep it strictly professional. You don't ever have to talk politics. In fact, we, you know, may recommend against that. Like you don't have to, you know, have it be a glimpse into your real life. It can just be a profile for your work. Nice. So yeah, that's kind of the pros and cons. And again, I'm sure there are many more out there, but at a quick start, that's what, that's where I'm going.
Nice. When you talk about the communication side and being able to see what other groundskeepers are doing, being able to communicate with them, where are the rules around, I guess, having, you know, personal conversations with us? Is it called sliding into DMs in a groundskeeper world?
You're too old.
Is it is that frowned upon?
No.
Or are you good to go? Best way to do it, get the information through that.
Yeah.
You can call, text, whatever.
So I would say, like, I have two people that I think about when I think about sliding into the DMs. And one of them is Corey Levine. He started off at the Parks and Rec level, and he told me, like, I interviewed him about this topic this time last year, and he told me 50% of the opportunities he's got for in this industry have been strictly from messaging somebody on Twitter, hey, I really loved what you guys did in the end zone last week, I love that you're talking about this mental health issue in the industry. Like, connection made, you know, potential opportunity to come down the line in the future. Yeah. Jacob Bobber Scales, I had him on the podcast a few weeks ago. Same thing. Like, he just did an entire like stadium tour on his like family vacation. They went to Arizona and he went to like four different places.
That's cool.
And that was strictly through sliding into their DM saying, hey, I'm an up and coming groundskeeper. I'd love to come see what you're working with. They invited him out, and he's actually now working at one of the facilities that he came and visited.
Okay.
So I think it's a great way for networking. If you want to do the thought leadership piece, which is, you know, make a name for yourself in our industry for being somebody that is passionate or has a ton of knowledge, I would keep all of that communication or that commentary on the feed, like comment directly on someone's post or retweet someone's post and talk about what you loved about it. The DMs, I would say, are more so for creating those personal connections. Mm-hmm. You know, engaging with people in the feed is how you're going to establish yourself as a thought leader, as someone who's passionate about moving the industry forward.
Okay.
So that's kind of the two ways that you could take that networking piece.
You said Corey Levine, and I immediately thought Adam Levine,
literally,
which was the Maroon 5 guy, right? That got in trouble for getting into DMs.
Yeah, yeah.
So nice. That was
a perfect correlation. Yeah,
you
every time before I say his name, I like say Corey, like Adam Levine, because when I see the last name, it doesn't like immediately click for me.
Yeah.
Like it, cause it looks like Levine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so I always say it like that.
Very cool.
So he got a few shout outs in this chat.
That's awesome.
Well deserved. He's one of my favorites.
Let's go there then. Like, who, if, you know, I get a Twitter, who should I follow? Who's the best followers right now?
Well, and that's the perfect way to start. You don't have to get a Twitter and immediately start posting. Just go and find some people that you're like, love. Yep. Yeah. And, you know, replicate what they're doing in a sense. Don't immediately copy and paste. But, you know, if you see that, you know, I love, we had Ryan, how do I say his last name?
Jordan.
Bajor, do you pronounce the J?
I do. Don't know if it's right or not. I've known him forever. He's never corrected me, so I'm pronouncing the J.
I like told my husband his name, and he's like, did you say that on the podcast? And I'm like, yeah, I think Weston said it. He's like, it's definitely Bjorn.
It may be Bajorn. He's never, ever said no.
I love it.
I'm going with it.
We're going with it.
Yeah.
So he's like somebody that, you know, he has that perfect blend of professional and personal. you know, we don't know what him and his wife are doing every single weekend, but we know that they've got the cutest dog in the world. And
the dog has an Instagram.
Yes, so, yes. Yeah. So it's like, you don't have to be completely out there. But then he also is, you know, showing all the things that he's doing. Nick Pappas is a great one. Mm-hmm. I love following him.
Pizza Friday.
Yep. Like, he's, you know, and all the new things he's doing with the NFL, like, you can just, it's like a news center when you go to his Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know if Nick's married. I don't know if he has kids. I don't know where he lives, but he is like a thought leader in our industry. Mm-hmm. He's starting conversations. He's doing all the right things, and he doesn't have to put, you know, he's not dancing on his Twitter to get likes. So he's another good one. Leah Withrow, she's a no-brainer.
Yep.
She's the one who's kind of leading the charge on that next generation, making the videos, doing some of the fun, like, stitches on TikTok, things like that. Maritza Martinez, I love what she's doing. She's, you know, making videos, but she's also, she does a great job of a blend of personal and professional. I feel like before I even met her, I felt like I knew her from her social profiles. And we just started off on this great foot because it was like, I know the type of things to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Son, Roseline, that's another last name that I butcher every time. She's great because, like, she, during football season, she'll give you that week by week update. You feel like you are alongside her and her crew the whole fall season. It's like, it's week 10. Like, this is what we've battled this week. Or, and all of the people I just mentioned, if you just went and looked at who's following them, you could fill up your feed in 10 seconds if you go and follow some of their followers.
Okay.
I'm probably missing a bunch that, Andy Hubbard in Arizona. He's a good one. The Iron Pigs Grounds Crew is one of my favorite crew pages. The perfect way to create a crew page. It highlights everyone from the intern to the head groundskeeper. It shows everyone's, you know, journey throughout the season. Also does a good job of showing how their fans engage with them, things like that. Okay. So I could go on for days about my favorite profiles, but there are some people out there who are doing it so good that it's like, you know, let's just, even if you just want to support them, you don't want to create any content of your own, but you want to retweet and you want to share what they're doing, that's going to help move the message forward, help get more visibility for all of us. So.
Awesome. So you have this, you set up this personal page, you have all of the projects that you're working on,
mm-hmm.
how, or even a crew page, and you have all these projects you're working on. How can you then use that to attract new, you know, staff,
mm-hmm.
You know, help get more, you know, people involved, get the next generation in.
Yep.
Where do you go from there? How do you do that?
Yep. So I'm going to talk again about Leah, because this is something she's done flawlessly with her page. Is every, like, hiring season, she will do like a compilation video of all the candid moments between her and her crew. And it will be like them chasing the, you know, office cat around, or them, like, working an overnight, you know, project, or them, you know, grabbing dinner together, or them on the weekends. She'll make a compilation video of that, and she'll post it a few times during the hiring season and be like, come work on this crew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are the things that we do outside of the job that are, you're going to love working with us. Someone who did a really good job of it was Chris O'Wallace when he, I think it was like the COVID season. It was like labor was an issue for everyone. And what he would do is he would go back and, like, retweet his own content of things that people really resonated with. And he'd be like, hey, there's an open job posting for us right here. Like, come and work with us. And it would be all the things that highlight the reason we love this industry, the camaraderie, the culture, the long hours that bond you with your crew. Like, it was a really unique way to, like, instead of just posting, like, hey, here's this job posting.
Yep.
But also, I was looking back at my own page when I was thinking about this topic, and I was like, okay, if when I looked at my job description on LinkedIn or whatever, when I came to work for mm-hmm. Pioneer, it was literally like content specialist at a paint company in Cleveland, Ohio. Like it, okay. Like, you know, I was desperate for a job. So I was like, I'll apply there. But for somebody that's got their pick or wants to know more about the industry, they were to go on my Twitter profile today and see that I got to go to California this year and hang out at a golf course for a whole week. I got to, you know, have two awesome meetings with all these teammates that like I love, and we've got this great camaraderie at Pioneer. One day I'm out filming baseball products. The next time I'm posting an episode for my podcast. Oh, and she's a mom of two kids. Like that, mm-hmm. my profile, even if I'm not saying, hey, come work at Pioneer or hey, come work, you know, in our industry. If someone goes and sees my profile and says, look at how awesome it is to work in this industry based on how this person is out there on Twitter, like I'm hoping that is moving the message forward and helping it, you know.
Yeah.
Positive direction.
Somebody shared your profile with me, and that's why I'm here. So
look
yeah,
at that.
Yeah, yeah. you specifically, I saw that and I was like, wow.
Where's my cut?
Yeah, exactly. but that's a good point. I want to ask this question that you know, may or may not be true, I don't know, but do you think there's a correlation in the number of followers you have and you build your brand up that way to then be, you know, a stepping stone to have a conversation with your management to potentially mm-hmm. get a pay increase or get your staff pay increases, create more positions? Is there any thought to that?
Yep. So I think, you know, beyond creating visibility, another great reason social media is a tool that you need in your toolbox is because it helps you earn a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. Whether you're using social media for data points or you're using it for the influence you have out there that you can come and say, hey, I'm influential in this industry. This is why you want to keep me on the team. It is beneficial both ways. I'll dive a little bit into the data points part first, in the sense that, like I said, there are people out there that are already, you know, doing the good work, mm-hmm. the Lord's work out there, God's work. They're, you know, posting extensive, you know, reports on their field renovation, or they're talking about, you know, the labor shortage and what it took for them to get a full staff this year. Like Brian Hall is a great example of that. He is very candid about like his season in review mm-hmm. on social media. And, you know, he's on podcasts. He's talking about the things he's tracking, things like that, but he's also doing it on his social media pages. So the guy down the road who's running a parks and rec department, when he wants to convince his, you know, money movers that he needs a new piece of equipment or that they need to, you know, do a tournament for this reason and the next, he could go onto Brian Hall's page and get data points for that conversation. Mm-hmm. Or he could even forward that page along and be like, hey, this is why we need something like this. Or on the opposite end of the data points part is your money mover comes and says, hey, why the heck doesn't our field look like the guys down the road?
Yeah.
Like, and you say, well, here, Brian has a budget for 13 people on his crew. You give me budget for one.
Yeah.
Like, so that's, I can only do so much with this one employee. If you want us to get to that point, you need to give me this or yeah. you need to give me that. So the data points are limitless on Twitter or on social media that you can learn from other people that are already sharing this information. When it comes to earning yourself a seat at the table and establishing yourself as a thought leader on your own mm-hmm. and kind of saying, hey, you need to take me seriously because people are listening to me out there. Followers, I think, is a great indication of that, but also how many people are engaging with your content. So you could have 20,000 followers, but you've got two people commenting on your post. there's like, you know, an imbalance there. But if you post a podcast once a week, or you post a photo of you and your crew and how you made it happen this month, and you've got a bunch of people sharing it, you've got people fired up about your content, you've got people commenting, you've got somebody calling you and asking you how you did this, and you're being asked to speak at the conference the next time around, that is going to mean a lot more than followers, essentially. So followers has some indication on what your success is, but I wouldn't get discouraged if you only have 500. If those 500 people are pumped up about what you're saying, that means a lot more than having 5,000 who, you know, quickly scroll past whatever you got going on.
It's cool. I only have 430 on Instagram. So,
well, hey, the content you're not even you. I don't think I've ever seen anything from you, but your wife, she's got some good content out there, and you guys got the perfect backdrop. That's the thing. It's like, you've got the bread and butter already. You are living in like a picturesque area. You got a cool wife. You got two cool kids. You got a cool background in the industry. It's like untapped potential.
Oh man, you're really pushing hard for this. You're not talking too much about it, but
percentage wise, I'm convincing you.
Here's my issue, and you probably hear it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it if it's something that I could do from 8 until 4:30 in the afternoon,
yep.
and I could check in, because I think it would be very helpful for what I do with work,
yep.
and staying, you know, in the industry and understanding what's happening.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be there at 8 o'clock at night.
Of course.
Staring at my phone, not paying attention to my kids, and thinking, oh man, look at this. Look at this game that's going on, or, you know, whatever that's happening, and seeing it.
Yeah.
And I don't trust myself enough yet. And once I do that, then I'll be back on.
So there are these cool things that you can do on your phone now, like set time restrictions and like hours that you can open it. I know that's like getting a bit in the weeds, but like for a good example is I only have my Pioneer social channels on my laptop.
Okay.
Because it was becoming a thing where like, okay, we sit down to watch a football game with the family and the whole time.
Yep.
I'm scrolling on my Pioneer Twitter. Like, what are people saying? So it's something that I did move onto my work laptop so that, at all hours of the day, it's hard to carry this thing around to dinner.
Oh,
and
that would be hilarious to see, though.
Yeah.
I'd ask Kevin for a photo.
Yeah, exactly.
I have had Twitter before.
Mm-hmm.
I had it for 7 or 8 years. And I remember the exact moment I deleted it. It was not a great day. I knew the field was not going to perform the way I wanted, and I did not want to see all of the social media posts that went with it. And so I literally sat there and watched, you know, a field perform badly and thought, oh, this is going to be bad.
Yep. Delete.
Delete. And it was gone from that point on.
Well, and you know, I think a lot of people might be apprehensive to share their shortcomings, but I think anybody that does finds that actually, that's where you're going to get embraced and be, you know, coddled. Yeah. Like, hey, bud, we've all been there. Like, and so I can resonate with that feeling. Like, I don't want to hear it. Like, but also for the people that are willing to put it out there, imagine how they're impacting the four other groundskeepers Absolutely. That had a shit day and are feeling down on themselves. And it's like, oh, look at this guy. Like, he just helped me feel 10 times better because he shared that, I'm also having a shit day. Like, and I think a lot of us felt that camaraderie during, you know, COVID, where it was like, man, I also don't know how to get back into it, or I don't know how to do this job on my own. Like, and we all really rallied around each other. And I think like, as scary as it can be to put yourself out there, it also is the potential. It opens up a million more opportunities to connect somebody who's going through that similar thing.
Yeah. I'll be back eventually.
Yep.
We'll see. We'll
welcome you with open arms.
Have we done good?
I think I'm going over our little outline here. Pulling the curtain back. We didn't just, you know, speak off the cuff here. We did have a little bit of an outline. But I think the main thing, I think we touched on a lot of it, but I think the main thing I love to drive home is, you know, why does visibility matter? And, you know, again, we went over the ways that you could make this a crew profile. You can make this a personal profile, whatever channel you want to be. You know, there's even the option just to be out in your community and having visibility. Maybe once a month you require somebody on the crew to attend a little, like, you know, a game at one of the fields, mm-hmm. and be like, hey, go around, talk to parents, like, hey, I'm the groundskeeper, you know, whatever that looks like to you, whatever visibility looks like to you. The reason it matters is because it's combating those misconceptions. You know, we've all seen it where the newscaster is like, we all thought this guy mowed a lawn for a living, but his job is much more intense. Like, the amount of times a news segment starts off like that, like, we've all seen those. And it's like, if we become more visible, the conversation, the segment isn't starting off on, oh, you thought John, you know, only worked from 9 to 2 every day. It becomes, hey, do you have a kid interested in STEM? Like, John's job, it encompasses being outside. It has science elements. It has technology elements, math, all the good stuff, engineering. So it's really combating those misconceptions between the general public and your user groups. It's a lot harder for a team to trash the locker room.
Yeah.
If you've got a sign in the locker room that says, hey, like, meet your local, you know, grounds crew, like, we take care of this facility so that you can play. Like, if somebody can put a face to a consequence of sorts, like, if you can put a face to the person that's going to have to clean up your consequence, like, it's less likely they're going to do it. If a parent, you know, if you've got like a U14 team that parents, they trash the stadium, like, yep. the stands every single time they come in.
Which happens all the time.
Yeah, a common issue. Like, if they can put a face to, wait, I really like Weston. Like, I don't want him being here cleaning up after our parent group. Like, so one, that's one of the reasons visibility matters. Two, it's going to get more young people interested in our industry. How many times in the last 5 years have we talked about, it was the keynote, like, in the last, you know, 3 SFMA conferences. How do we get more people in this industry?
Yep.
Visibility is an easy way to do so. Not easy, but
easier.
And 3, and the most important, in my opinion, is it secures a seat at the table for field managers.
Yep.
So if Weston secures himself a seat at the table and he leaves the organization, that next guy doesn't have to claw his way up to the money movers. They already know we respect these people. We know that their knowledge is valuable to this organization. Like, it, you know, creating visibility for yourself, like I said at the top of the hour, it helps everyone in this industry. So you earning a seat at the table earns a seat at the table for the next guy. We all start to, you know, blend and create this beautiful umbrella of protection, whatever you want to call it. But we all help each other at the end of the day. So that if you want to stay off Twitter and you don't want to be front facing and you want to create a profile, that's helping the 12 guys on your crew.
Yep.
If you don't want to be on social media at all and you just want to talk to the one parent that is a pain in your ass week after week, that's one more person that knows what the issues are and could translate that to the next 12 parents. And again, all of this is to get you guys hyped about our podcast. We talk about these things all the time. We're also going to be talking about this at our booth at SFMA, not just this topic, but many topics. Weston's eyes just went wide.
Yeah. Last week I was told that we podcast live.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the booth before, but when I signed up for this, I forgot about that. So it'd be great.
And then also, if you want to see some real life examples, and hear me dive a bit more into this topic, give you ideas that you can steal and apply yourself immediately, come to my SFMA speaking gig, I guess you would call it. I don't know what day. It's Wednesday, and it's bright and early. So as you can tell, I've got the energy though to bring you guys in and pump the room up. So we'll post that a few more times, but I hope you guys got a lot from the conversation. I hope that I convinced my co-host here to join me on the journey of promoting our content.
I'm more convinced now.
Good.
Not TikTok.
Yeah, no. We don't need to build Rome.
And a reminder to all those that are listening, every time we said Twitter, just imagine that we met X.
Yes. Yeah, and we had our shit together.
I want to try something. Can I
yes,
try something?
Yes, please.
Do you think we can hook a phone call up to this? Like, can I hold it up here?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here it goes.
I love it.
I think I have somebody. Let's see if we can.
What's up?
Oh, Mr. Ryan, what's happening? Yes. So you, right now, you're with Meg and I. You are live on a podcast. You're our first ever live guest. And we just had like a 2-minute conversation. And I don't know the answer to this. I've known you for so long, and I've said your name every day that I've ever talked to you one way, but I don't know if it's right. Is the J silent? Is it Bjorn or is it Bjorn?
This is going to be the most non-answer of all time. It's
no. All right.
How do you introduce yourself?
Penis, so it is supposed to be silent. But I guess when my ancestors came over or whatever, they Americanized it because I was always thought it was Bjorn, not Bjorn.
Nice.
All right. So I was right. I was right.
We were true to Ryan there for sure.
Yes.
See, this is what Groundskeeper Chats is giving you, the answers that matter out in our industry.
The hard-hitting questions.
Nice. Nice. Well, thank you.
No problem. Happy to help.
Yep. Appreciate it, man. Have a good day. Take care.
Bye. I love it. Oh, my gosh. And that also reminds me, we have to do the weather report.
We do have to do the weather report.
Did you come prepared?
I am prepared. Hell, I'm ready to go.
Let's hear it.
Things that have me excited. So this week, Meg and I are together. Mm-hmm. We're not separated. Normally, I live up in the Northeast. Meg's here in Ohio. We're both in an office together here. I'm here for our annual sales meetings that we have, where they bring our entire staff together in Cleveland. We spend 2 or 3 days talking about, you know, everything that's great with us, everything that we can improve on, because everybody needs to improve. And, you know, just getting to see people and talk with, you know, coworkers face to face is awesome. So this week has been great. My weather report is how much fun I've had this week being here in Cleveland at our headquarters and getting to see everything that's happening here and hear all the exciting things that we're doing and looking forward to seeing everyone here in the next few months. What's that?
That you're about to have a life-changing meal in the next 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to the supermarket. It's a place that exclusively sells
soup. S-O-U-P. Yep.
And it is a favorite of mine and a lot of people here in the office. And we'll be able to take Weston in person here in a few minutes. My weather report is that in 2 weeks, I will get to go to the GCSSA headquarters for the Women's Leadership Academy.
Nice.
So I'm going with the women in turf team to kind of help tell the stories of the academy, of the individuals there. So I'm excited for that. It just so happens that my husband will also be traveling for work. So that should be interesting.
Oh.
Our two kids I think we're going to have my brother and sister-in-law there. But it's like that happened during the Little League World Series and I took a back seat. I stayed home.
Yeah.
And Kevin had to go to work. But this time we were like, we both got to go. Like, nice. How does this keep happening? So that's what has me excited. I'm excited to see all my friends. And it's like the best life hack working here is that I can like go on work trips that are literally like going on a friend's vacation. Like we get to see new places, but then it's also like being with your group of friends. Yep. So I'm excited.
Nice. Awesome.
And I think that's where we leave them.
That's it.
That's all she wrote, folks.
All the hard-hitting answers to how to run a good social media, and the J is both silent and non-silent. So
I love it. The answers that matter.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.